Okay, good morning. Welcome to another presentation here in Controlled Environments. As you know, my name is Alexander Litvin, and there is an incredible interest in our controlled environments, especially in LED lights, as we've seen in some of our talks. Now, you might be wondering how controlled environments can even affect us in this beautiful, beautiful Hawaii. Well, not all of us come from that. So up in Iowa, we actually need to have controlled environments to deal with the temperature, but not only that, but also the low seasonal light. So one of the big issues with that is that we need to supplement our light, so increasing that daily light integral. So traditionally, we have been doing this with high-pressure sodium lamps, but right now there is a new interest in really migrating over to light-emitting diodes, LEDs, just as a kind of an alternative way of actually increasing that DLI, mostly because it's that comparative of narrow spectrum light versus the broad spectrum light. So to that end, we want to quantify that effect of that supplemental light, that spectra, and how that might actually help in production of herbs, culinary herbs, guys. All right. And I'll try to read through this, but it's a hypothesis, is that use of spectra-specific radiation, and we hope that by targeting specific wavelengths, then we can increase photosynthesis, we can increase certain value-added traits, like the secondary metabolites, like flavor compounds in our foods, and do this all by just going over to LEDs. Now, to do this, we chose three different species. Right, basil, nuphar, a flat leaf parsley, and fern leaf dill. So we started them off in phenolic cubes in a growth chamber just to kind of get them going for a couple weeks, two for basil, three for the others, and maintained it at a constant 23 degrees and monitored it with a data logger, a hobo. But for the actual greenhouse, for the experiment, we focused on three lights. One was the traditional lighting through HPS, and then we chose two formulations of LEDs, one which would be a low blue LED, so by that I mean 93% red light to blue light, and these are just red to blue, or a higher blue content, so 70% red to that 30% blue light. Just keeping it easy, and we just made sure that one light was one rep. Anything going under that light was part of that one rep. And we separated each rep with a reflective white plastic to reduce any light pollution contamination from one treatment to the next. And then made sure that each light was providing approximately 100 micromoles of supplemental light to that target area running from 6 a.m. to 10 p.m. Now, to adjust the light, we had to, of course, map out the area. I did this, of course, by measuring every 4-inch squares of each growing area to make sure that our lights were perfect. And then you can even see the graphs of showing how we even were able to see the changes in light quality across the treatments. And we did this also by separating them into each different systems. Here we were using a hydroponic system. Now specifically a deep flow technique, hydroponic, DFT, and just kind of maintained it with a fertilizer concentration using EC of about 1.5 millisiemens per centimeter using water-soluble fertilizer and maintained the pH at 6.0. Water temperature was maintained with a heater, chiller, and aquarium system and kept it at about 22 degrees. Right. For the environment inside the greenhouse, although it was controlled by computer automation, in our case a Argus system, the monitoring of it was done by an aspirated temperature and humidity probe that was relayed to a data logger hourly and daily. So we try to maintain our day temperatures at approximately 24 degrees Celsius, and at night bring it down to 20. There was, of course, a little bit of change in humidity by doing so, and we were also maintaining our DLI at a fairly constant level across the entire experiment. So to that end, how do we know if there's a treatment difference? Well, we have to collect data. So we did so by looking at morphology, the height, the shoot, freshen, dry mass. Additionally, we also looked at chlorophyll fluorescence using a fluorometer here by using dark adapted leaves by placing a clip and checking the fluorescence across the treatment. Using a spectral photometry to measure the chlorophyll content finally, and as we could see how that would increase. And then looking at photosynthesis and somatic conductance by use of an infrared gas analyzer. And in this case, since we do care about the light quality, we used a clear screen so that we could actually get relative differences across our treatments. And finally, to kind of understand the secondary metabolites, the flavor compounds of interest, we used HPLC, through which I got access to a chem department that kind of allows us other labs to get access to, and here they are. And with all that data, though, we looked at it as just using three replications, so three DFT systems per light. So we had three high blue, three low blue, three HPS, and every run. And in each one of these systems, we had 12 plants of each species. So you can think 12, 24, 36 in total. And that was also per replication and per run. By run, I mean we arranged this as a randomized complete block design. And the blocking was really done by run. Right, and then we re-randomized the light, so moved them around and readjusted the light intensity to make sure that we were actually not getting a location effect. Then finally, we analyzed the data using a two-way analysis of variance, blocked for treatment and for block and treatment, and then decided and did it with a mean separation of Tukey's HSD on a significant difference. So we can already see here that there is a little bit of a difference by choosing which light source you use. HPS, for example, did, and especially for basil, produce a taller plant with more fresh mass than either of the LEDs. Well, partially for the low blue for fresh mass, but when we get to dry mass, so we see that there really isn't any difference between any of these lighting treatments. And again, when we go to parsley, we also see a taller plant and more fresh mass than the high blue treatment, with the low blue being somewhere in between, and once again, no real differences in dry mass. What is interesting, though, is dill, because dill doesn't matter if you give it HPS light, doesn't matter if you give it a lot of red light, doesn't matter if you give it a lot of blue light. It has the same height, seems to have pretty much the same fresh mass, and just like the others, about the same dry mass. But for chlorophyll, we were really interested in seeing if the spectral changes would actually increase or decrease. And for chlorophyll A, although there are differences across species, but this isn't apples and oranges, chlorophyll B was interesting because it actually seemed to increase with that lower blue light. So it seemed to be a bit of a red light dose response of increasing with more red light. And for photosynthesis, and you'll notice that dill is not on this aspect, that's just because it's really hard to clamp on a infrared gas analyzer on a leaf of dill. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, try it. No, it's not happening. But definitely, though, using an LED or focused spectra-specific radiation, we do increase photosynthesis, both in basil and parsley. And also, the stomatal conductance was also interesting in that it definitely did increase. And as one might think, also, high blue was definitely higher, because you can see in low blue for basil, it was kind of in between. And we kind of assumed that with blue light response, with stomatal conductance opening foot one, that hopefully we might see some type of difference there. So, and then finally, also fluorescence. So fluorescence definitely seem to show that that FV over FM, so that change in initial to maximum fluorescence, did seem to drop with both the LED treatments, though keep in mind it was a very small one. The real interesting bit, though, is the secondary metabolites. So, and I'm just to make it easy across the first row here, so Hamilton, camphorol, and quercetin will be all the same for all three species, just to give you something comparable. And we can definitely see that that high blue definitely gives a little bump in some areas. Camphorol had an interesting opposite reaction, but orientin, myricetin, and there were even trends in other areas, though not significant. Parsley, again, a lot of interesting trends, though ultimately only really significant for ISO Hamilton. Dill was interesting because though earlier we had talked about how there was relatively no differences morphologically, when it came to secondary metabolites, those LEDs really did make a difference. I mean, look at quercetin. We saw a several-fold increase in the accumulation of quercetin. Camphorol was higher for both LEDs, well, partially for HB, myricetin, and dilapio. So all this really kind of comes down to the fact that supplemental value, yes, you need it. But the what you can actually get by changing and shifting from your light sources for your height and your mass may or may not change depending on what species you are. So if you're growing dill, maybe it's not that important. If you're growing basil, maybe a little bit more important. And the spectral specific radiation, irradiance, or other term you like to use, I like radiation, can effectively also increase that photosynthesis and conductance, which obviously if you're focusing in on those absorption bands for chlorophyll, it seems right that you get a little bit more efficiency out of it. And additionally, though, when you do so, plants grown under LEDs will have that lower FV over FM. But keep in mind that really we're going from 0.85 dropping down to about 0.881. So the difference from HPS is really slight, and we would still consider these fairly healthy plants. And additionally, also chlorophyll B, if it's something that you want to focus it on, it definitely is mediated by the amount of red light that you are provided. And the secondary metabolites do definitely increase proportional to the blue light or red light. But really, when we're talking about that, it's very species specific. So when you do want to implement one of these types of lighting treatments in growing your plants, you have to really ask yourself the question of what exactly are you growing and to what end are you actually growing them. So with that, I'd like to thank everyone that made it possible for me to be here, the Department of Horticulture of Iowa State University, my PhD committee, our greenhouse manager, which helps everyone, and grad and undergrad assistants, and of course, all the sponsors and people who have donated graciously to my work. To that, I'll open it up for questions. So the question again is, was canopy temperature measured to look for potential effect in the HPS lamps? Yes, actually, I used an infrared thermometer to kind of get spot temperatures all across the canopies, across all the lighting treatments, during several points throughout the experiment. No, there was literally no difference whatsoever. It was actually well because it seemed that we had the lights high enough that there was good ventilation, and no real effect of the kind of long wave radiation for that thermal effect. So that was negated. All right. Anything else? And so in when we think about that incremental increase, there's an incremental increase which would be useful at the pharmaceutical level if we want to focus on it. And to give you the short answer, no, it did not. Did we focus on it? But at the same time, we also have to think that there is a threshold of too much might be not a favorable thing for people. So the main interest here was, can we cause an increase here that would at least add a little bit more value so its food would be a little bit more flavorful when it actually hits the market, as opposed to just, you know, empty calories and water weight. Unfortunately, that's all the time I have. But if you have any more questions, please find me. I love answering questions. Thank you very much.